If over the last month or so you tuned into radio station 101.5 The River, you are likely to hear Christmas music. Well, I take that back. You are likely to hear a endless string of commercials or advice from John Tesh. But if you happened to catch some music, you would have heard holiday songs. And if you listened to those holiday songs, it would not have been long before you heard some lyrics that spoke of a yearning to be home, to be with loved ones. There's no place like home for the holidays. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be home for Christmas, and then the sad twist, if only in my dreams. During the holidays, our hearts go out to people who are families of soldiers, people whose loved ones have recently passed, people who are in any way separated from those whom they love. Because we know that love desires above all things to be with our loved ones. Throughout the Advent season here at Point Place UCC, we have explored the mystery of the Incarnation. Why did God become incarnate? Why did God come in the flesh? And we've talked about how in Jesus we are able to see the invisible God and feel God's touch and hear God's voice and know that God loves us. But at the core of God's heart and at the heart of the biblical story, the thing that sums it all up and gives us the richest insight into what Christmas truly is that God became flesh to be with us. In our passage this evening, the angel calls the child Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Emmanuel is God's invitation to be and to live with God. Christmas, I think, challenges us right where we most misunderstand God and the Bible and the life of faith. Because as one scholar, to paraphrase one scholar, he says that most of us live with a God who wants us to be good and happy, but is generally distant and irrelevant. For many of us, the Christian life is to be as nice or as good as we can be, and maybe try to help others if we can. And what we know of the Bible are things like the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, and maybe we'll talk about the cross if we happen to break one of those. But Christmas tunes us into the one theme that unites the entire story of the Bible, that God desires to be with us, and we need to be with God. It's the refrain of the story that's introduced in creation. God has created this world as an invitation to share in God's love. It's the refrain that's played in the story of Israel, who is a community that God said, "I will be with you," so that you can invite others to re-enter into relationship with me. The whole Old Testament is a story of a God who pursues people, saying, "I am with you," and then asking them, "Will you be with me?" At the heart of Christmas is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is God's invitation and his definitive statement, "I want to be with you. Will you be with me?" Emmanuel is not God whisking us away to heaven when we die, but bringing heaven to earth and reuniting what was always meant to be together, heaven and earth, creation with its creator, God and his people. And those things come together in Jesus, Emmanuel. How could God say, "I want to be with you," any more clearly or emphatically than by becoming one of us, by walking among us, by sharing meals with us, by offering himself so completely that he would even walk to a cross for us? God becomes incarnate in the flesh, embodied to be with us and to invite us once and for all to be with him. Now, this all sounds like such a beautiful invitation that God wants to be with us and is inviting us to be with him. But as we read this story, we might wonder then, why does King Ahaz get so upset when Isaiah promises Emmanuel? Why does King Herod strike out against so many children in Bethlehem because of this threat that he hears. Why does the baby that is born in a manger end up on a cross? Well, as I thought about that this week, I thought maybe King Ahaz and King Herod grasp something that we rarely do about Emmanuel. That Emmanuel, when God comes to be with us, Emmanuel is a disruption to our lives, the lives that we've grown used to living. And whether we're kings or from the top to bottom of society, Emmanuel disrupts every part of the lives that we've grown used to living apart from God. Just as Emmanuel was born in that stable and then his presence and his message spread to the ends of the earth, so Emmanuel enters into our lives at our very core and then spreads out into every area of our lives. All of the parts of our lives that we don't think we need God for, or we don't think God has anything to say about, God enters in. He changes our dreams, he transforms our minds, he takes us places we never expected to go. He turns our ways of doing life completely upside down. And all we have to do is look at Joseph and Mary to confirm that. They were engaged to be married with a whole life ahead of them. And all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant out of wedlock. They're rejected from society and living as refugees in the country of Egypt, apart from their homeland. Jesus is, we might say, the great disruptor. And that's why the Bible describes the life with God with images like being seared in a fire and being submerged in a river. And it even uses the image of death. The invitation of Emmanuel then makes no sense to people like King Herod and King Ahaz, or to anyone who is successful and secure and powerful and happy. Why would you want to put yourself through the disruption of Emmanuel? But it's also why Emmanuel is such a profound message of hope to anyone who is acquainted with disappointment and anxiety and failure and the brokenness of this world and its ways. Only when we realize the emptiness of all of these ways that we live apart from God will we be willing to receive the invitation of the great disruptor in the hopes that he will burn or wash away anything that keeps us from God. Only then will we allow Emmanuel to take our hand and walk us into the death of one way of living, and allow him to make us alive to a whole different way of life in the presence of God's love, where there is fullness of joy and enduring peace, and our deepest hopes can be realized. Because the great disruptor is also the great creator and the great redeemer and the light of the world and the source of true and abundant life. God became flesh so that we could see the invisible God and feel God's touch and hear God's voice and know God loves us. And he does this by being Emmanuel, God with us, and inviting us into the with God life. And thus, Christmas is not a cold and distant historical event, nor is it a warm, cozy, and safe party with our families. Christmas is a disruptive and thrilling invitation to the life that you are created to live in the disruptive, burning, overwhelming, transforming presence of love. This is the Emmanuel invitation to you and the invitation to all who receive Emmanuel, that we might extend this invitation to the world. Let's pray. Lord God, Jesus Emmanuel, help us to hear your invitation. Help us to know that you have said to us, I will be with you. And help us to be willing, give us the strength and courage to allow you to enter in and disrupt our lives so that we might live with you, and have all of the things that keep us from you taken away. Lord, this is our prayer for ourselves this Christmas and all whom we know, that you would be with us and that you would help us to enter more deeply into the presence of your love and hope and peace and joy. Amen.